Well, census data sometimes it comes out and surprises people, as it did the people of Detroit. According to the most recent numbers that we got from the census, the city of Detroit lost more than 230,000 residents. That's about 25% of its population over the past decade. Detroit was at one point the fourth largest city in the nation and the wealthiest. It's now the 18th largest and the least populated it's been in more than a century. John Gallagher joins us now. He's a business reporter for the Detroit Free Press, author of the new book, Reimagining Detroit, Opportunities for Redefining an American City. John, good to talk to you again.
Yeah, good morning, Celeste.
First of all, you know, I wanted to talk to you. I actually read an article just yesterday that was called Michigan Decline, and it was really great. It was talking all about very high unemployment and a sharp decline in population in Detroit. The trouble is it was dated October of 1961. So this is something that has been going on in the city back and forth for a long time.
Yeah, the Detroit's population peaked in the early to mid-1950s, and it's been declining ever since. And for a long time, people didn't mind too much. They thought it was okay to spread out a little bit because the city was so crowded in the 50s with 2 million people. But, of course, it's been at a crisis stage ever since at least, say, the 70s. And it seems to be, the loss of population really struck us very forcibly this time with the latest census figures.
And that's complicated by the fact that because of state law, Detroit, like other cities, can't just swallow up its suburbs. It's confined to those historic city lines that it had, you know, a century ago. So it can't grow as its population moves further out. And that causes a problem because you have the infrastructure for 2 million people and a tax base now of a much smaller population. That's the bad news, right?
Right, and it's interesting that a lot of the cities in the Sun Belt are allowed to grow and expand and swallow up their suburbs as they grow. Houston is about three times the size that it was 50 years ago. Houston's now 600 square miles compared to Detroit's 140. And so if Detroit had been allowed to absorb that suburban growth as some of the Sun Belt cities had, you know, we'd have 3 or 4 million people in the city, and, you know, we wouldn't be having this conversation. But the fact that we are landlocked, and we have been since the 1920s, that means that when people left, we could not sort of absorb them back into the city through annexation.
There's geography, but there's also the political boundaries as well. Celeste alluded to that. I'm wondering, John Gallagher, if the Detroit story, a single industry town, basically, that has this particular political confinement to deal with, is the future of places like, say, Denver, which has a lot of suburbs that are very independent, that don't want to be part of, Denver's city center. And that if things should go south economically, that a place like Denver could see its population just go bye-bye.
Yeah, well, a lot of people look at Detroit as not as a unique city, but as the sort of the forerunner of what a lot of other cities are going to be facing, because population declines of 25% to 35% are pretty common, actually, in most older cities, especially in the Northeast and Midwest. We're just more extreme that we're at 60% or more from our peak. But it's not unusual at all to have 30-40% population drops in places like Cleveland and Flint, and Youngstown is over 50%. So a lot of people are looking at Detroit as sort of the model of what might happen, but also what we could do, how we can kind of reinvent the city along some new lines.
Well, let's talk about that. We're speaking with John Gallagher, a business reporter for the Detroit Free Press. You kind of see this as an opportunity rather than a challenge. I don't know you as necessarily being a real Pollyanna, so you must have specific ideas on how this could help.
Right. Well, we want to be realistic but hopeful. Obviously, it creates a lot of deep problems when you lose 60% of your population in 50, 60 years. The fiscal challenges for the city government is enormous and so on. But it does open up a lot of land that we could put to some new useful purpose. And a lot of people are thinking about, could Detroit produce more of its own energy and be more energy self-reliant by taking all this empty land that we have in the city and doing solar panel farms or wind farms or, you know, geothermal farms? Or could we create a new local food economy instead of importing all our food from, you know, Mexico and California? Could we grow more of it locally and therefore create a lot of, wineries, agritourism, grow fruits and vegetables inside the city? So a lot of people are talking about those kinds of opportunities that arise from being a smaller city.
Well, I mean, that has when others have come into the city and suggested that they move on, it hasn't always gone over well. Jesse Jackson visited Detroit and said urban farms was a dumb idea. Did he say
right.
Dumb or stupid?
Right.
John McCain, actually, when he was campaigning, came in and said, hey, forget about cars, move on. And that did not make him popular in Detroit.
Right, right. Well, it's only in the last few years that people are starting to think about reinventing the city. For a long time, people said, well, we're just going to rebuild. You know, we'll build all new houses and all new, retail, and it'll be like it was in the 50s. And it's only in the last few years that people are sort of accepting, look, there's not the market demand for all this land that there was. We have to come up with some new idea. Mayor Bing in Detroit now has his Detroit Works program trying to come up with a new set of strategies for repurposing all the empty capacity in the city. And it's very controversial. A lot of people, as you said, Reverend Jackson, think a lot of these ideas are stupid. A lot of people don't see why we just can't, rebuild and be the 50s all over again. But a lot of us, I think, are more realistically saying, what's a set of strategies that's going to work, that's going to repurpose the land, that's going to create some new jobs and tax base for a city that, that badly needs them?
First, though, John Galler, you got to get these people who are like the one or two homes in a largely empty area to move. That's not going to be easy.
Right. Detroit's this interesting mix of sort of very dense, very urban neighborhoods, some more suburban-type neighborhoods and some rural neighborhoods, almost farm-like neighborhoods, all mixed in the same city. So it's a very unusual urban landscape. And you're right, we have to figure out how to take the people, the one home per block type of neighborhoods and see if we can't incentivize those people to move to the stronger parts of the city. And then you could take that land, that open land, and do something purposeful with it.
Good luck, John, with that, because Detroiters are friendly, open-hearted people, and they're also very stubborn. John Gallagher,
right.
Right. Love them, but they're hard-headed. Business reporter for the Detroit Free Press, author of the new book Reimagining Detroit: Opportunities for Redefining an American City. And we want to throw this out to the people of Detroit who are left or still there. Why are you still there? What would make you go back to Detroit? You can answer that at 8778 My Take or at thetakeaway.org.
Since WNYC's first broadcast in 1924, we've been dedicated to creating the kind of content we know the world needs. In addition to this award-winning reporting, your sponsorship also supports inspiring storytelling and extraordinary music that is free and accessible to all. To get in touch and find out more, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.